message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today, and we trust that our time together in God's Word will prove a real blessing and help to you. As we look today in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 and 2 Timothy are the epistles of Paul, the apostle, to young Timothy. Someone called these books timely tips for timid Timothy in tempestuous times. And if that's true, and I don't doubt a bit that it is, then they're good instructions for us because we live in tempestuous days. The days of the dispensation of grace, as they extend further and further, the last days are always described in Scripture as perilous times, difficult times, times in which we need the instruction of the Word of God. Jesus says, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." The word sanctify means to be set apart for the purpose for which it was created. The first time that word occurs in your Bibles in Genesis chapter number 2, when God sanctified the seventh day and hallowed it and sanctified it. Sanctify doesn't mean somebody that's their lifestyle is some super way of living, and it's what we call, quote, holy and all that kind of stuff. The word in the Bible simply means to be set apart for the purpose for which something was created. God set the seventh day apart for the purpose for which He'd created it, that is, to rest in. Sanctify them, set the believer apart for the purpose for which I've created them, Christ says. Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. You see, it's the word of God that allows the believer to be set apart for the purpose for which we were created. It's the word of God that's going to sanctify your life as a believer. And the word of God is truth. It's absolute truth. The only absolute, infallible authority and standard, absolute moral authority and standard that this universe knows anything about is the written word of God. And if you have in your possession today a King James Bible, you have in your own language that absolute moral authority of Almighty God available to you to study and to read. I was in a department store just the other day, and my wife and I were in one of these stores where you go in and everything is a dollar. You've seen those stores maybe. And we went by an area where they had a lot of books. And they had dozens and dozens and dozens of copies of the Word of God. There were just literally hundreds of King James Bibles sitting there, all for $1. And I thought, isn't that amazing? For $1, you can buy the absolute, eternal, infallible truth of Almighty God on a bookstand in the mall in your town. Why, you know something, folks? The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Every idle word that a man speaks will give account thereof on the day of judgment." Somebody says, "Well, what about the heathen that don't know?" You know, a guy asked me one time, he's out passing out tracts, and he says, and he was trying to witness to him, share the gospel with him, and his rejoinder, the reason he didn't want to believe the gospel was, "Well, what about, where do the heathen go?" And I told him, I said, "Well, they go down to JCPenney's, Sears, Montgomery Ward's, and same place you go, you know. They go right where you go. I mean, the heathen are all about you." And he said, "What about the heathen that don't know?" Well, you don't know what they know. I mean, they're the heathen all over America, and you've got the Word of God available to you, just like that. It's amazing. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth, absolute, infallible, moral authority available to you in your own language. And not only that, not only does He give it to you in your own language here today, preserved it for you, wrote it, and had it translated into your language in a form that you can trust and rely on, but He also gives you the way to study it. It's amazing. It's wonderful to have God's Word. And then have a medium like this where somebody like us can, people like us can get on and share the Word of God with you and talk to you about it. It's an amazing, wonderful thing. But my friend, that truth of God's Word has to be studied. And that's why we go to it. In tempestuous and difficult times, the only place to go have an anchor that's absolute is in the Word of God. So he says in 1 Timothy, he's writing to Timothy, and he's warning him about the tempestuous, difficult days that you and I are going to be living in. And he says in 1 Timothy 1:3, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." That is, you stay there at Ephesus, Timothy, and you tell the people, don't change the doctrine. Take the doctrine that I've committed to you, the doctrine of grace, and don't change it in any way to suit the times that you live in. Neither give heed to fables. A fable is a story. You remember Aesop's fables. You remember the tortoise and the hare and that kind of thing. It's a story that has a lesson in it. And he says, don't pay attention to stories. Don't listen to experience-oriented ideas, things based in experience, focusing on experiences and events and things that have happened in your life or the life of somebody else. Don't give heed to them. Don't pay attention to experience-based religion. Neither give heed to endless genealogies. That's the who's who. You can trace your genealogy way back, you know. Listen, my friend, you know, we live in a day of great interest in our ancestors, and each ethnic group in America today is trying to be, you know, loyal to. You can trace your ancestry back to the Mayflower. You can trace it back to a birch bark canoe. It isn't going to help. He said, don't pay any attention to all that kind of stuff. Where you came from isn't the issue. Where you're going is the issue. Where you're going to spend eternity is the issue. Not where some of your grandpas and your grandparents and great-great-grandpappy came from. Where are you going to spend eternity, heaven or hell? That's a whole lot. Where you're going is more important than where you came from. He says, don't change the doctrine to suit the times. Don't pay attention to stories. And don't have your faith based on a false doctrine, something outside of the Word of God, a change in the Word of God. Don't have it based on human experience. Don't give homage to personalities and make big shots out of preachers and educators and scholars and all the rest. But rather, he says, than godly edifying, which is in faith. That's what I want you to do. You see, what Paul wanted Timothy to do was to accomplish the edification of the believers at Ephesus according to the dispensation that God had in effect at this time. Godly edification. May I say to you that the purpose of a teaching ministry, the purpose of a local assembly, the purpose of a denomination or a church or anything that names the name of Christ, as a Bible teacher and a pastor of a church, my job is godly edification of the saints under my ministry. The purpose is not to raise offerings, to build big buildings. It's not to keep the machinery going. It's not to do all the things that religion tries to do. The purpose of a pastor, and if a pastor's doing his job and executing his function that God gave him, your edification, according to the dispensation God has in effect today, will be the one goal of his life and his ministry. And if you have a pastor or a preacher or a Bible teacher or someone that you go to get information and spiritual counsel whose purpose is anything other than your spiritual godly edification, then what they've done is they've fallen for the tactic of the adversary. For the adversary's tactic and desire is to keep the believer from recognizing the uniqueness of the dispensation of grace in which we live, so that you won't appreciate what God is doing today in Christ. You look down at verse number 10, and Paul talks about sound doctrine according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Sound doctrine. That's the realm of truth that God has committed to us today. And he says, I want you to stand in this sound doctrine. And when he talks about anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, by the way, it's not just Bible doctrine. It's doctrine out of the Word of God, but it's not just Bible doctrine. It's sound doctrine according to the glorious gospel committed to my trust. That is, it's the Word of God rightly divided. It's sound doctrine. It's healthy, life-giving, health-giving, health-producing, spiritual stability and edification-producing doctrine when it is the word rightly divided. Now, there is doctrine, even that comes out of the Word of God, that is contrary to sound doctrine. Back in verse number 6, he says, from which some, talking about the doctrine committed to him, to Paul, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain janglings, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. You see, that's why you have to be careful about sound doctrine. Because there is a whole process, a whole system of information out there that's not just human viewpoint. It's not just people denying the Word of God, but it's people even using the Word of God but failing to rightly divide the Word of truth. They're scriptural but undispensational, not dispensational in any way. And they go back to the law and the law system. They forsake grace and they put you under performance-based acceptance. And they make you think that God will accept you if you perform enough, if you pray enough, or if you give enough, or if you fast enough, or if you light enough candles, or you do some performance. If you do it enough and you do it right and you do it perfectly and you accomplish it, then God will accept you. Performance-based acceptance is legalism. And legalism is something that destroys grace. God Almighty will not allow His grace to exist where legalism reigns. If it's of grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And you see what Paul's desire is, and what our desire for you is, to take the Word of God and to lay aside the law and to be edified in grace and have God's grace be the thing that builds you up and gives you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Now in verse number 12, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. For this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause, that is, so that He could be the chief of sinners, the foremost leader of sinners, I obtained mercy, that in me first," Paul says, "Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering." Now, why did He do that? "For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." Something began with Paul. In me first, Paul says, He's going to show forth a pattern to everyone that would hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Paul is a pattern for people who are going to follow Him, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive everlasting life. People who come and take their place with the chief of sinners, acknowledging that they're sinners, that they can't save themselves, and look to the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. I mean, today Paul said there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The middle wall of partition has been set aside. Time past has been interrupted. And now there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all take our position with the chief of sinners, and we all trust the Savior of sinners, because Romans 10 says there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, today there's no difference as far as being sinners. We're all sinners. There's no difference for salvation. We're all come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is the first, that in me first He might show forth all long suffering for a pattern. Paul is the initiator. He's the pattern of what God's doing today. And God had a reason for dealing with Paul, a reason for saving Paul, in order to make, He did it to make him the pattern for those that would come after him. And that's you and that's me. Paul's a blueprint, as it were. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1, you'll see the same word over here, pattern, done just a little differently. Paul is there's a blueprint, there's a pattern that's given to Paul for us to follow. and to use so that our service will be in order with what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. And the pattern is not the man. See, the issue isn't the man, Paul. The issue is the office that God gave him. The issue isn't the individual and the actions of Paul. It's the doctrine that Paul taught. Romans chapter 11, verse 13, Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Paul is the initiator of the grace of God to the Gentiles. And then he says, I magnify my office. He's not magnifying himself. He's magnifying the position of God-given authority that he received from the Lord Jesus Christ as the means by which God's message is made known for today. 2 Timothy chapter 1, he amplifies that. He says in verse 13, hold fast, hold on to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. I hope you see that. You see, the issue is some sound words. The issue is some information, some doctrine out of the Word of God. And it's through the doctrine that's committed to Paul that proper worship and service for God today is going to be accomplished. Paul said, I laid the foundation, and the foundation is some doctrine that he laid down. As a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, he says, and the sound words are the words that are found in the epistles of Paul. There is words that give health and life. And you notice he calls it, hold fast the form, the pattern of the sound words. There is a pattern in Paul's epistles, in the words and in the doctrines in Paul's epistles, that is designed for the edification and the establishment of a believer. Come with me, if you will, to Romans chapter number 1 in one hand and Romans chapter number 16. When we come to the epistles of the Apostle Paul, there is a pattern, there is a form of sound words in Paul's epistles that are designed to produce godly edification. Excuse me, edification, and an edifice is a building. And what literally God desires to do is build a building of doctrine in your soul, a house of doctrine, in which you as a believer can live and out of which you can go and serve Him. It's a house that when properly built, when properly constructed, is a temple of God, in which God the Holy Spirit lives and demonstrates His life and His presence and is made tangible in the earth. In fact, the Church of the Living God today is described as the pillar and the ground of truth and is the vehicle through whom God is manifested in the world today. God lives in the church, the body of Christ. That's the believer. I live in buildings, temples made with hands. He lives in believers. And as He lives in us, He desires a doctrinal edifice to be built in our inner man. Now, if you're going to build an edifice, a doctrine, you need a blueprint to do it. Paul said, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. He says he committed to me a form of sound, a pattern of words that produce this godly edification. Romans chapter 1, verse number 11. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Book of Romans is given to be establishment truth and to produce what he calls the mutual faith. And he's not talking about these people getting saved. They already are believers. They already are saved. He's talking about them being established in the mutual faith. What he's talking about you having the same understanding that I have about the doctrine of what God's done for us by His grace. We have this mutual, we share the same understanding of the faith. And the book of Romans, and then all of Paul's epistles are designed to do that. There is a design, come with me to Romans 16:25, a design, a pattern for your edification. And if you'll take the information in from Paul's epistles according to the pattern, the form of sound words which he gives us in his epistles, you'll see that this pattern does the work for you in producing the edification. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that's of power to establish you according to, notice, according to three issues. He's of power to establish you according to what he calls my gospel. And there's going to be another issue here. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So we're going to have first, there's going to be the preaching first is going to be the issue of my gospel. That's going to be the foundation. The thing's going to be built on Paul's gospel. Then there's going to be the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Once you've got the foundation laid and the understanding of that laid, then you're going to build on that the issue of the agency. Here's the foundation, and here's the superstructure. Here's the agency that is created. And then he says, I better read it. The mystery which was kept secret since the world, but is now, since the world began, but is now made manifest. And the third end, the third way according to which God can establish you, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. There's the future up here. There's the rest of the Word of God. There's where we're going to be out in the ages to come. You start in here. And this is the details of grace. Listen, folks, your life as a believer is going to have to be established as a foundation issue. Put the ground right there and sink the foundation below the ground where your feet are solidly fixed in the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have to know the details of the gospel of the grace of God, and you have to be established in God's grace, what God's grace is, and oriented to His grace. So the first thing is grace orientation. Look at here. He calls it my gospel. My gospel. It's Paul. You got to understand the dispensational issues of grace. It's the gospel committed to Paul, not the gospel Christ preached on earth, not the gospel Peter and the 12 preached, but the gospel that Jesus Christ revealed through Paul. But then he calls it my gospel. There's the doctrinal issues. There's the issue of grace. This is a message of grace. We call this program the message of grace because we preach the message of grace from the apostle of grace and the epistles of grace, Romans through Philemon. The doctrine today is grace, not law. We need to be oriented to all that God is accomplished for us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And once we become oriented to that and we understand the issues of God's grace, then we need to come up here and into the superstructure of the doctrine where we get introduced to the fullness of it. Here's the agency that God is forming today. Here's the agency, the body of Christ. Here's a group of people. Here's how He saved us and how He's equipped us. Now here's what He's going to do with us. We're a heavenly body of people that He's going to use in the ages to come for some very specific purposes. God has something that He's going to do with you and me throughout the ages of eternity future. It starts right now in time, where He's equipped you right now in time to live where you are and handle every detail of your life for His glory, starting right now, but going all the way out through eternity future. That's what He made you when He made you a member of the body of Christ. You are something special in the purpose and program of God, something He's going to use for all eternity. You need to understand that. You need to appreciate that. There's doctrine, the revelation of Jesus Christ according to the mystery. And then there's the future out there, how it all fits in the prophetic program. And you can stand out there and look out there and see how this works in with what God's doing in the ages to come and the future out there. Then the other epistles of Paul, Timothy and Titus and Philemon, are what we call pastoral epistles, personal epistles written to men as handbooks for the functioning of the local church in the dispensation of grace, and how we as believers function together and what our ministry is as we preach the Word. What I want you to see, we'll go through this more next time, and I want you to see especially next time how that all you have to do is read Paul's epistles. Romans to Philemon, and you go through this edification structure. But there is a specific design. See, when we say Paul's epistles are our epistles, it isn't enough just to say that's ours and something else isn't. We need to get in Paul's epistles and follow the edification structure, take on the doctrine the way he says to take it on according to the pattern he gives us, and build up in our soul this edification, this godly edification structure. And all you have to do, and we'll see this next time, all you got to do is read his epistles, because they take you right through that design. Be oriented to his grace. Be oriented to who you are as a member of the body of Christ. And then understand how it all fits into the overall purpose and plan of God for all eternity. And all you have to do, as I say, is get in the book and read it. Why don't you sit down today? Take the book of Romans and start reading it. And start reading Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon, and see for yourself. Take a highlighter and mark every time you come across something where it tells you what God has accomplished for you in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and who it is He's made you in Christ, and what He's won for you by His grace. And see all of the divine operating assets that God has given to you in the complete and total provision that He's made for you and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you be with us next time, and I'm going to go through Paul's epistles and show you how they match this edification design. If you'll take the doctrine in the way God says to take the doctrine in, it'll do for you what God said it'll do. It'll edify you. That's why we have this program. That's why we offer you Bible study tapes and literature. We want you to have it. We want to help you to understand and enjoy the Bible. Get a pencil and a piece of paper right now, would you? And write down in just a moment, Dan's going to come and give you our address and phone number. We've got a free cassette tape we'd like to give to you as our gift to you for watching. If you'll call me or write me today, we'll be glad to see that you get your copy. Thanks for listening. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Godly Edifying. It sure is free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 211. That's tape offer number 211. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you're still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.